Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw.
Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night. Hello. Welcome.
And hi. Hey, how's everyone doing? Good, good, good.
Good. I'm glad you guys are good.
So, fun episode this week. We are going to talk to Eric the Architect, who, Sife, do you have any memory of who that is?
I have zero recollection.
Would you go as far as saying the foggiest?
No, not even foggy. Foggy, you can see a little bit.
Eric the Architect is one of the members of Flatbush Zombies.
Ah.
Who now those guys have all sort of went out on their own solo careers.
Okay.
And the Eric the Architect album is being lauded and is quite good if you have not heard it. But even better than that for you one-uppers is he popped by the studio and we chatted for like an hour. And he's just fucking awesome. Just like a great real life conversation with a dude who's went through a lot of stuff the last couple of years and who I've known. I'm sure as you do remember, the Zombies were like, you know, pinnacle Rosenberg artists in the good old days.
Yes.
You know, you remember when I mattered a little bit? You remember?
I have the foggiest.
That you have the foggiest of.
Yeah, that's
you
the remember. Foggiest. Yeah,
there was a time when people cared about my opinion and stuff like that. And the Zombies were a big part of that. So it's an awesome conversation. We'll get to that.
Is he the tall one?
Is Eric the tall one? Eric is tall. He's not the tall. Is he the
Wasn't
tall
there a tall
one? Eric. Could Eric be the tallest?
No, they always show me love, man. I like those guys.
Juice is the shortest. Meech. I think Eric is the tallest. I think that's right.
What,
I think
they broke up. They don't do anything together anymore.
No, they're still like bestest friends. They're just in a solo project period.
Right.
We did talk about that too, how the obligatory, like that everyone thinks they broke up or anything like that. And they're still, oh no, he is tall, dude. He's like a full head taller than me. And I'm
that's
looking,
the tall one.
I guess he's the tall one. I'm looking at it right now. He's the tall one. But yeah, super, super cool dude. I told me some interesting, I never talked to him really about his personal life. So anyways, I think you guys will really enjoy it. And unlike the last solo interview I did on One App, which was a Crime Apple, where he sounded sort of annoyed to be there. It's very much the opposite with Eric the Architect. He's very happy to be there. Sife, how was San Diego, California? Actually, before that, Do you want, before you forget, do you want to remember to plug being at the Ha Ha Hole or the Gobbledygooker or, you know?
I don't have any, I don't have anything to plug this week. But next week.
Oh, yeah.
You could catch me at the Commonwealth Society in Dayton, Kentucky. Nobody that I've ever met from Kentucky knows where Dayton, Kentucky is. I've met people from Kentucky and said, hey, I'm going to be in Dayton, Kentucky. And they go, oh, you mean Dayton, Ohio? No, the address of the venue is Dayton, Kentucky. People from Dayton, Ohio have no idea, just an hour away is a place called Dayton, Kentucky. But I'm going to be there the 29th and the 30th of March.
What's it next to? It has to be next to
something. Okay, here's the thing. I remember one time I flew to Dave's house, but I had to take a flight to Cincinnati because of the time. When I landed in Cincinnati, it said Kentucky. And I was like, I've made a terrible mistake. But look at it like this. The Cincinnati airport is in Kentucky, like the Newark airport. It says you're going to New York, but you're landing in New Jersey.
So Dayton, Kentucky is next to Cincinnati.
Like across the water. There's like a little bit of water. I don't know what that water body is,
I see it. Yeah.
But you go across this little, I'm going to assume there's a bridge. River.
It's the Ohio River, by the way.
I love the Ohio River. Right. That's where the Ohio players are from.
Huh.
So that's, from the that's
river,
where I'm at.
From the river?
So that's where I'm at.
So by the way, the specific place you're talking about, Dayton, Kentucky, the reason people may react to you the way they are, it has a population of 5,666. It is less than 3 miles from downtown Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
It seems like it's just like a little suburb of Cincinnati. Yes.
So shouldn't you promote it by saying you're playing in Cincinnati? Or no?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know if Cincinnati. If you tell people in New York you have a gig in Jersey City, do they come? Normally not.
Not the same here, though. It's not the same. Because everyone here, I'm guessing, is driving to go everywhere, and it's less than 3 miles. In New York, you have so
Jersey
much population.
Jersey City is less than 3 miles.
Yeah, but people don't drive here.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I'll be in the Cincinnati area.
Yeah, you're in the Cincinnati area.
I'll be in the Cincy area.
You should hit High Tech. Like, High Tech should come through.
I told High Tech I was coming. Yeah, he said he's going to come.
Real quick.
And I'm going to hit up one of my favorite sneaker stores, the Corporate.
Oh, the Corporate.
Yeah, Corporate. Because that's the real one. The one I go to is in Dayton, Ohio. I've never been to the Cincy one.
Not Dayton, Kentucky.
And I remember a very long time ago, I was involved with a young lady from Lexington, Kentucky, which was not that far. And she had some big bazoombas. So all the ladies from the Kentucky area, from the Ohio area, if you got the big bazoombas, come on through. If you got the little bazoombas, come on through.
Are we at the age already where we sound like creepos now? And we tell people if they got the big old bazoombas to come on through, or we don't care.
Why? What do you want to change? You want to change who you are? You got your glasses on now?
Because I'm not involved.
Huh? You got your glasses on now? You want to be more? An adult?
By the way, I do look like more of a pervert with the glasses on, so I do have to be mindful.
You could look like more of a pervert.
Like, think about it. Now, anytime I see someone, I have to do things like this. Mm. You know, that is when you're lowering glasses. Yo, you know what move I'm developing, by the way? That's so old. Yesterday, I was watching Curb in bed, and I'm developing the different ways you adjust your glasses that's like most comfortable for TV. Because, like, you know, the angle's different because, like, I'm laying in bed and looking up at a TV.
Right.
I'm hitting a different part of the glass. So to make it better, like, I'm lifting the glasses up on the head. You know what I mean? You might go down on the nose a little bit. Like, there's a
so
lot
you mean
of
my work. Entire life?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not an old man thing. It's not an old man thing. It's just wearing glasses.
But it feels like an old man thing if you've never been doing it. Now, Billy,
a lot of people get glasses when they get older, Billy. So that's why there's like a comparison to old people with glasses.
Okay. Yes, thank you. While it's true that you have been dealing with it your whole life.
Well, Billy's looked like an old man since he was 10 years old.
By the way, that is a fact.
I have a really bad itch on my nose, Sife.
By the way, he's scratching his middle finger. He's scratching his nose with his middle finger. He's giving back the finger. Billy, by the way, is coming to us today from I guess he had a rough night. They put him in solitary. What did you do last night that they did this? Did they put you in solitary?
I was too cool.
Yeah.
You were celebrating St. Paddy's Day?
No.
Really?
You have a green shirt on, which I'm assuming you had on last night.
No.
Oh, okay. Great improvising with you, Billy.
Oh, it's his tribe shirt. No, tribe when he shirt. Does improvise, what does he do on the podcast? He's done Billy, you're 2 for 2 on visual jokes since you got on the podcast. You scratch your nose with your middle finger, and then you lifted up your shirt, unfortunately. And when I say lifted up his shirt, I don't mean he showed us the Billy bod. I mean, he showed what shirt he was wearing. Guys, guess what celebrity I walked right by me yesterday, and ooh, I saw him fucking with these glasses, Sife.
Yeah,
I spotted him from 30 yards. I was like, is that?
Was it in your neighborhood?
Yes.
Was it a guy that is known to live in that area of New York City?
Yeah.
Do you know the person?
No.
You don't know him, but he lives in that area. Sting.
Come on. Incorrect. For this podcast, it's better for this podcast.
Oh, it's related to this podcast.
I won't say it's related.
Jerry.
Billy, way to come in and steal the thing from Sife. Yes, and you, Jerry.
Oh shit! Where you saw him at?
Central Park.
In the park.
In the park. Me and Natalie went and met her friends, Megan and Josh. Josh ran the New York Half Marathon, and they did a little get together with their kids and some family in the park. And Natalie said, "We're going to go hang with her and her family." I said, "Cool. I like Megan and Josh. Let's go." We go to the park. We decide they want to take their little kid to the little Belvedere Castle, which I think is about Mr. Belvedere. I'm not 1,000% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's a tribute to Mr. Belvedere. And we, as we're walking towards the little castle area, like cutting through the street, I spot like 30. I'm telling you, Sife, it feels like I'm cheating. It feels like I'm wearing magnifying glasses now. I'm like, oh, shit.
You are wearing magnifying glasses.
It feels just like that. I go, I see Jerry Seinfeld. As I'm thinking it, Natalie goes, you see Jerry?
Is by himself?
He's walking with a friend.
Which friend?
I not one I recognized on site.
Was it comedian Ryan Hamilton?
Why would you guess that?
Because they go on walks together and they live right next to each other. And he opens for him.
Oh, yeah. It very well could have been him.
Yeah.
It could have. I'm going to ask Natalie. I wonder if she would recognize if it was this guy. So that's a known thing?
I mean, to me, he's my friend.
Oh, Ryan's your friend?
Yeah.
Is it? So it's not
known.
This
was yesterday?
Yeah. You going to ask him? Ryan.
Let's call Ryan Hamilton. Let's get to the bottom of this.
Ask if he walked through the park around, it would have been on 1:30, 2:00. 2:30.
Yo.
Ryan?
What's up,
sir? Did I wake you?
No, I'm on an airplane.
Oh, so sorry to bother you.
No, you're all right.
My friend, my co-host of my podcast, Peter Rosenberg, was walking in Central Park yesterday, and he had a Jerry spotting. And Jerry was walking with a friend. I was wondering if that friend was you.
Yesterday? No. But I did work with him last week, this last weekend, the weekend before.
Humble brag. All right, sorry to bother you. Have a nice life. He's a good guy. I love that guy.
You saying goodbye to him permanently? That was it. You think that's it? That's all. That's the last call.
Well, have a nice life. So it was not Ryan Hamilton. Damn.
It was not. So let me tell you something about Jerry. Number one, he looked great. Looked just like Jerry. Number two, he walks with a speed. I guess, is he walking for exercise?
From what I know of Jerry,
yeah,
it's a after lunch walk.
From but what like, it's a walk.
Yeah, it's a walk. It's from what I know, from what a couple of different people have told me, he has a good lunch because he's gonna have a sensible dinner. He's gonna have a sensible dinner. So he has a lunch is where he goes in.
Lunch is a cheeseburger, perhaps something like that.
Yeah. And then after the lunch is always a walk, always.
So the walk has some pace, is what I'm saying.
From what I've heard.
Let me tell you something about him. He was walking at a pace. It's kind of genius. He was absolutely unapproachable. Not even a chance.
Yeah.
You would have to be a fucking lunatic.
You have to trot after him.
No, you would have to be like, I'm tackling this man. It would be such an insane move to try to stop him with the pace that he was walking at, that either he's doing it for exercise, because let's be honest, Jerry is a 60-year-old Jew. Him walking at a pace.
I'm sorry?
A Jew, I said. He's a Jew. And so walking at a pace for exercise is a thing 60-year-old Jews are apt to do. But I also feel like Jerry's not the type who ever wants to be stopped. Am I wrong? He gives Larry to me. Like, they give the same thing. Don't stop me.
I've heard Jerry. I've listened to a lot of Jerry Seinfeld interviews. I love Jerry a lot. I like his OCD attack of the arts and just life. It seems like if you approach him the right way, it's cool. But anything off kilter, he's out.
So if you just hit him with a, if you hit him with a, hey, Jerry, just wanted to say hello. Such a huge fan. Nice to meet you. Yeah. Thank you for all you've done. Great.
Yeah. He, from interviews that I've seen of him, it seems like he respects that.
Where do you think it would go where he wouldn't like it? Just like the, or is it where everybody who gets approached by anyone goes, like, doesn't like it?
Yeah. Sitting down, eating.
People are there. No one wants to. Isn't it funny that people keep doing that?
It never stops.
But isn't that funny? Like, isn't that the most known thing of like?
You would think. People are not aware of things that some of us are, I think. It has to. I have to accept this.
But no.
Accept this.
The eating one is every.
It's not even eating. It's you're either eating with your family or you're eating with a good friend. Or you're at a business meeting.
Those are essentially the only three options, unless you're eating by yourself.
Unless you're eating by yourself.
In which case, I don't know. I wouldn't mind. I don't think I'd be mad at someone stopping me if I'm eating by myself. I'd stop and go, hey, how you doing? I'd always say, who am I? I'm nobody. And I would always say hello to someone. But I don't think even if I got, anyways, let's remove the by yourself. It's too rare an occasion.
Yeah.
The likely move is, family, friends, business.
Yeah, like family is like, hey man, I'm an entertainer. I'm always on the road. I don't get a lot of time with my family. This is a special thing to go out and get something to eat, right? Boom.
Yes.
Business meeting is like, I'm in the middle of working out this next multi-million dollar deal.
Hey.
I bet even business meeting is the most approachable time, which not that you would know which one is which, but I think it would look good in your business meeting if fans are approaching you.
Right. And at least you're not cutting into like my personal time with my family.
But if you're in the middle of doing a Netflix deal and someone comes over like, oh, Jerry, I love your stuff. It kind of looks like subconsciously the person you're doing a deal with is like, wow, he's still got it.
And if you're really nice, it gives you a chance to be like, oh, wow, he's so approachable.
Yeah, he's such a good person, yeah.
But, yeah, people do. I have to tell you, my one friend, MVP, wrestling fans are their
own breed. That's a wrestler.
He's a wrestler. Yeah. And wrestling fans are their own breed, right? But MVP... you can approach him in any situation, but yo, he's like Jerry in terms of the, like, if you don't do it the right way, he's out. Yo, you know what? I don't think he'd mind me sharing this. If you don't say please to him, he is hitting you with a and.
Wait, if you don't say please for like a picture or something?
Yes. Yo, let me get a picture. He'll go like this. If you go, yo, MVP, let me get a picture. He'll go, are you forgetting something? He'll hit you with the mom dukes. Are you forgetting something?
Yeah, good. It sets the tone.
And I get it. I get it. I mean, especially like it's such a weird thing though, right? Because then you have people who are just outright not nice to fans. And you're like, how can you be not nice to people when like ultimately you wanted, this is what you wanted, with very rare exceptions. Like there are the artists out there who don't care about fame at all. They just care about their craft. They those do exist, but yeah, they're few and far between. If we're just being honest, right? Like most people wanted to get famous. I get it. If you just happen to be so good at your craft and as a result, you're famous and it's annoying, I get it. But most people, you wanted
it. But famous doesn't mean approachable, does it?
No, but if you wanted everyone to know who you are. No, but if you wanted people to know who you are, to then be mean to them when they know who you are and are excited to say hello is you're being a cock.
Weird. It's a fucking, it's a catch 22.
And I get it. Listen. Do you remember when I went through a not so great period?
What do you mean? No, what happened?
Like 2018 or so.
Oh yeah. When you had that flood.
No, I never had a flood. You're confusing me with someone.
I thought you had a flood in your apartment.
A flood in the apartment? No.
What happened? Oh, when you lost that box of records, the 45s.
No, never done. Thankfully that horrible act has never happened to me.
What happened?
A few years ago, I was divorced.
Oh, yes. I try to forget about that.
Does it sound familiar now?
Yes.
And unfortunately, when that happened, I went out in the streets to live my life. And I felt like God was punishing me for my vanity of wanting to be famous so bad. I went down to my therapist's office, who at the time, what's the big ass church downtown? There's a big ass church all the way.
St. Patrick's.
Not St. Patrick's. It's all the way. It's like financial district.
Oh, is it Trinity?
Yes. I knew I could fucking ask Cypher Sounds and he'd remember.
Trinity.
He was in the building above Trinity Church.
Yes. Okay. So there's a huge
office building right there. Huge. Thank goodness he left this building. It was a fucking pain in the ass because every time you wanted to go there, as I learned. So I'm on my way down there. I remember Dipperstein was in town for a couple days. Dipperstein came to check in on me. By the way, what a fucking agent. I mean, I know he's just my friend, but Dipperstein flew in from LA for a couple days. What a guy. And I'm my ex-wife is texting me all kinds of terrible things. Angry, going at me. I'm panicking. Yeah. I'm going to my first therapy session. I'm in the car getting yelled at by her. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I get to the place and it's one of these real New York office buildings. So I walk in. Sipe, I'm not kidding. Tears down my face.
Tears.
And I get to, and there's a fucking desk with a huge line.
Ugh. A line. Come on. What are we doing?
By the way, I'm sorry. Call me privileged. I walked around the line. I went, guys, I'm sorry. This is an emergency. Excuse me. This is an emergency. It felt like it was at the time. I promise you, I wasn't lying. And I go through. I give them the pass. You have to ID bullshit. A whole thing. I go through. I get into the elevator. I'm like, I got to just go up to like the 50th floor, whatever the fuck it was, 38th floor. Get in the elevator. The person next to me is like, Peter Rosenberg? I was like, then the guy next to me was like, nah, say word. That's Peter Rosenberg. I was like, I'm sorry, God.
You didn't have on your hat? You didn't have on like a hat?
Oh, I probably had a hat, hoodie. Every time I left that site for a good 4 months, when I left the house, I walked around like with my head covered, like there was something wrong. It was such a crazy time. it was, but it was in that moment when I went, oh, but this is what you want. This is what you signed up for. So this is what you get. And you're going to get to a time. Let me tell you something. You know, I have a, you know, I have a small, a very small, modest Long Island summer residence. Mm-hmm. I have assiduously not talked about where that is because I don't like the idea of me in this very regular place, people knowing that I'm out there just walking around loose summertime vibes, right? I don't like it. It's not the same. Everyone knows I live on the Upper West Side. I don't care. But this is different, right? It's not doorman buildings. You're out moving around with your family by yourself. I've kept it very low, intentionally.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
As a result of how low I... You
make fun of me because of that.
Well, I, but I learned from you.
Oh, that's interesting. It was mockery for years, but yet now you're, what, you're
no, no, embracing it. Hold on. Mm. Do you sometimes go to an extreme where I'm like, okay, it's not, no one's going to know? Yes. Or is your principle correct? You are correct. No, you're correct. You're I've given you this credit before. I often say you gave me a lot of the jewels for how I know how to move around safely.
For sure.
Be safe.
But let me tell you something. Not showing off about the fact that I live there is a kick in the nuts when I can't get a table at a random fucking restaurant. I'm like, can somebody just know who the fuck I am? I can't eat here. Come on. I get a table over that. I can't. Scythe, it's the equivalent of a glorified Arby's. Come on now. All of a sudden, I'm like, I want my privilege back. All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play this interview with Eric the Architect. And if you're the type who goes, why would I sign up for Patreon? Well, this is one of those weeks where we're going to spend the next hour on Patreon reviewing some music. I have a story I have to tell about, because I saw there was some Kanye content this week.
Oh,
and it reminded me. The Kanye content reminded me of a story that's much better told on Patreon that I'm excited to see if Cypher remembers the story.
Foggiest. I got the foggiest.
Because it got me thinking about someone. And then I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Summer Jam lineup is out. I got to get Cypher's reviews.
Oh, yes.
Cypher is in.
It dropped. So- they dropped it.
Well, as we're recording, they drop it later today.
Did I tell you that some guy, I almost had a fight outside the Comedy Cellar?
No.
I didn't tell you about the guy that said I suck.
No.
I did not tell you that story? Okay. Oh, I have an update on that. A couple weeks ago.
Oh. In other words, this is the time to get on that Patreon. Patreon.com/JuanEpisLife. And here is Eric, the Architect. You're going to enjoy it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? It's real late. It's Juan Epp. It's whatever version of this interview you're hearing. It is Peter Rosenberg on Real Late. And my guy, Eric, the Architect, is here.
Yes, sir.
You mean for the first time in a long time?
In a long time.
I don't know how long. It's never been solo, right?
Never
been solo. By the way, he is a Flatbush zombie. For some reason,
don't know.
You're consuming this. You know, I it's important to do this. When I interview artists who are like, for lack of a better word, niche, it's like important to always reestablish who everybody is. I sort of take all these things for granted because it's my world, which is ironic considering I know nothing about what the hell's going on in the other sects of hip hop. You just happen to be in the sect that I still... But I still keep up with. By the way, how's your keeping up with like all things hip hop these days?
I'm glad you asked me. I don't know what's going on either, bro. I'm gonna come clean.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, it's too much, and I'm not as interested as I used to be honest. Like just to even just like look, like to just randomly somebody got to like play it, and I got like, yo, who is that? And then you put like all the stuff that's come out. I've really turned my brain off from listening to it,
bro. I don't want to be this guy. I really don't. Like,
I don't either.
For so long, my life was kind of like, you know, I'm 44 now. So when I met you guys, I was like 32 or something, whatever it was, right? How long y'all been out?
More than 10 years, probably 12 years.
Probably 12 years, right?
Yeah.
So at that time, I was all, and how old are you now?
35,
right. So at you're already into the time of life where you'll have friends who are like, yeah, I don't even really keep up with stuff anymore. Like, they may know your stuff. They may not even know your stuff. Like,
facts.
They used to be heads, right?
Yeah.
And for so long, those friends of mine who faded, I, like, looked down at them like, y'all are whack. You don't love hip-hop as much as I do.
Yeah.
You did, but now you don't have time for it. And now I look up and I'm like, I don't have the effort. Like, I'm not feeling compelled.
I thought it was just me, bro. I thought it was just me.
But by the way, this is recent. This isn't even like,
nah, this ain't
5 years ago.
Yeah,
no, this is in the last couple of, not even since it went sing-songy necessarily. Because since then.
Mm-mm.
I was still interested. I'll put it this way. When Yachty came out, I was still interested. Like, I want to know about this kid. He seems, and by the way, I was right. Many people were wrong, though. Turned out to be an exceptionally talented kid who does different kinds of stuff.
Facts.
But now here we are, and I'm like, yo, thank God for the Eric the Architect. Tell him the name of your album, by the way, which is fantastic.
My name of my album is I've Never Been Here Before.
And what does that refer to, I've Never Been Here Before?
So the surface definition is clearly like, okay, I've never released a debut album before. But it's really just a testament to be like, yo, I lost so much over the past 5 years in the course of my life, just losing and the anxiety built around losing your keys and your phone. I'm like, there is actually good loss where you can lose something and actually benefit from the you not being distracted by it anymore or it being a bad habit. So this is my first time really feeling like it's actually okay to lose some shit because I'm benefiting from it not being around me.
See, now you're talking that talk already. Let's talk about, because when you said loss, I assume you immediately meant like serious loss.
A mixture of that and
so there's some of that too.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's start. What was there one particular serious loss that you went through in the last 5 years?
My mom's.
Wow. When was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Well, that's about as serious as it gets. Mm-hmm. So what was that? What was that process like for you?
I mean, for me, bro, like,
and was it sudden?
Nah, it was weird. I mean, every time you've ever seen us or, you know, we did a show, in the back of my mind, I was thinking about my mom's. I had to just, like, do what I had to do.
Because she wasn't in a great place.
Nah, like, my mom was blind. So I had a lot of, you know, diabetes. Just, it's a kind of disease that it starts as one thing and then it gets worse and worse over time. And as much as I didn't want to accept that, it was hard for me to ignore it because I can't. It's my mom, you know. And then, you know, I feel like dealing with something like that on a regular basis, bro, it was a distraction in a way that she didn't want it to be to me. You know, it's like, oh, don't worry about it. Go hang out with your boys. And I'm like, damn, I want to chill. I want to watch Amos and Andy and shit. Like, I want to watch Martin and shit with you, you know. And then eventually, you know, as her health started to decline, I had to accept that this is probably going to happen. But thank God we were all together. Like, all my brothers, my dad.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
So, you know, that was the initial.
And your parents
thing.
Are married?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I was always around my family. But that was the initial reason why I kind of got up and left here. Mainly because I was just like, yo, everything reminds me of her. And I had opportunity to buy a house. So I did that. And I just started something fresh.
In LA?
Yeah.
So you went to LA after your mom passed?
Mm-hmm.
And did it feel good to be someplace so far away? And were Juice and Meech there also at that point? Or did you go out there solo?
So I technically was leaving first, but Juice beat me to it. Juice already had an apartment that he was like, okay, well, if you're going to go, I'm going to go. So I'm gonna go now. And I was like, damn, bro, I got my suitcases still in Brooklyn and shit. He was like, nah, I'm out. So he left. And then I think then I had got there. And then Juice and Meech came, I think, a year after. We both lived there.
So did you feel alone being out there, or did you pretty quickly feel like...
It's weird, bro. I like being alone sometimes. I'm a weird guy, bro. Sometimes I like that solace and that space of recreation. And I not some cliche corny shit, but like a rebrand. You know, when you go to a new school, that's what it felt like in a way. It's like, this is your time to be like, who am I really? You know? And when you... Bro, honestly, when you lose your mom, you realize how much... You realize how much you are your mom's son, but you also say, damn, I really got to do I got to live my dreams for real. You know, like if that doesn't hit you at that moment, I don't really know if it ever will, because it's so shocking that you have to kick into this other mode. It has to either motivate you or it's going to hurt you. And I refuse to let it be something that was going to hold me down, you know?
Isn't it crazy that, like, I'm very fortunate. My parents are both still around. And as
God bless them.
Yeah. They're both in their mid late 70s and both doing pretty good. Over the last, couple of years, they've started to finally seem a bit older, which I know I'm very blessed to even be saying that when they're at the age they're at. But like, my mom just had knee surgery. You know, like, my dad forgets things. Like, I'll get legitimately mad at my dad for, like, not remembering Dave Chappelle's name. Like, especially because he talks about him all the time. He's like, my dad has been my dad's been so annoyed with Dave Chappelle for 2 years straight. All he wants to do is talk shit about him, and I have to remind him of his name every time.
What's that guy I hate?
That is what you just said was a literal quote. Who's the comedian I hate? I was like, Dave Chappelle. He was like, yeah. So little stuff like that, right? And so I've been very blessed.
Mm-hmm.
What's amazing for me to see from other people's, my dear friend Jody lost his mom a few years ago. Mm. Flex years ago lost his mom. Ebro lost his mom very suddenly. He was in the middle of an interview at Apple and got a phone call that his mom who's in Vegas. She lives in Vegas. Was in a bad way. And when he got there, she had passed. Oh. And I watched them get affected by it. And what I'm trying to say is it's amazing that it's part of the natural order of life. And yet when I see it happen to people and I dread the day for myself, you see people change forever. And you're like, damn, everyone goes. If you're lucky, you go through this.
It's very true.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Because the biggest nightmare is it goes the other way.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're lucky, it goes this way.
Yeah.
And everyone is impacted in this just huge way. How old was your mom?
She'll be 70 this year.
So she was young.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it was 80, it still hits it. Like, to not have your a parent, and then I've heard, you know, Ebro talks about this, the craziness of when his mom was his second parent to go.
Oh,
so wow. The feeling of when you have no parents left.
Yeah, that's another.
It's another thing of like, wait, so I'm the adult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the, yeah, it doesn't get any, I can't call anyone
no
above
advice,
me.
Nah. Yeah, bro. All of that hits you like immediately. Cause then you looking at old texts, you got like all these memories, bro. So
what was your, did you like go through everything? Did you like do the like searching for emails and texts and?
Oh yeah. I'm still doing that kind of shit. Right? You know, like I got a phone that just has all the old voicemails that she left me. Cause my mom was funny as shit, bro. You know, being blind, it's really showed me that people who don't know how to be around somebody that has a disability, like that's the majority of the world.
Yeah.
Look, most people talk to them like this. They hate that shit. Stop talking to them like that. They want you to be like, so The Rock is, they want you to talk about whatever the fuck is cool. Like,
right.
Fast and the Furious sucks. They want to hear that. They don't want you to say, hey, you know what? Is she okay? Does she know about that move? It's like,
well, she's not. Her brain is intact. She just can't see.
She can't see. And it's the deaf and the blind community too, because they both, like Helen Keller, that's why I used to take her, you know? So they both in the same area. Because they were
Helen Keller's a school. I mean, obviously I know who the person is,
but for the blind.
That's the school for the blind.
Yeah. So she, to learn Braille,
but she was deaf and blind.
No. But like a lot of times they're in these centers, they're together, but not in the same room.
But in this one, not in the same room. Okay.
Right. Exactly. So like I've seen it happen to people who are blind and deaf, the way that people treat them, they baby them, but there's a constant reminder that they're sick and they hate that shit. So,
and they've already been through. So they've already, their skill set is so sharp. Their sword's already so sharp.
Bro, they see better than us. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like, that shit is so cerebral, you wouldn't even realize. Like, these, you know, AK from The Underachievers, my mom described what he looked like to me. She said, he's tall and light-skinned with a big lips. I was like, how the fuck did you know that? She said, his voice. I was like, what? Like, how the fuck did you do that? She described what he looked like.
How long was she blind?
Bro, she was blind when I was in high school. So, like, I don't know. I was probably like 14.
So for the last 20 years of her life.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or close to it.
Mm-hmm. That was just one of the complications. That just like.
From diabetes.
From diabetes. But she had kidney failure too later. So those are the things, bro, that I was dealing with for quite a bit. And I'm not the type of person to be like, woe is me, because everybody has their their vice or their thing that they have to kind of like focus on and shit. But for me, it's your mom's, bro. Like, so it was always bothering me. And, but she was so influential to my life, as every mother should be, but because she couldn't see, it was like a different level of like explanation with the things that I did that I want to make sure somebody like her can understand what's really happening in the world, which is why I really want to make music, because it's so much involved in that when somebody can't see. Like, they have so much more attention to texture and mixing and all that kind of shit, you know?
What'd she think of your music?
So the Flavor Zombies music, she was like, man, those guys are crazy. And I'll be like, well, I'm in it too. She goes, yeah, but like, you know, they're a different kind of crazy. You're crazy because you don't do those things. She don't ever ask me if I did acid or LSD. She just knew.
Because they talk about it.
Right. She was just like, I know you don't do it, but that's why you're crazy, because, you know, all these people probably think you do and you don't care. I was like, yeah, I mean, what do you want me to do? Like,
is that true? Do you never do it?
Nah. At this point, I've tried different things, but like the whole Flabber Zombies time of releasing all those albums, I was completely just smoking weed for sure.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So she thought it was crazy, but it wasn't for her.
No, she fucked with it. And you know what's funny? The funniest shit, that the song she liked the most, I said, what's your favorite song? She said, that one where you go, fuck money, fuck fan, fuck. I was like, you like the most aggressive, raw Flavor Zombie song? I said, why do you like that song? She said, because fuck that. That's why. I was like,
wow, that's amazing, man.
So that's my mom's in a nutshell. You know what I mean?
What's your mom's? What's her name?
Denise.
Denise what?
Elliot.
Denise Elliott. I guess that would make sense.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Denise Elliott.
For sure.
So that's the major loss.
Yeah.
But then you were saying, like, you lost other things.
Yeah.
What are some of the vices that you accidentally or intentionally lost?
I don't smoke weed.
You're out on weed. For how long?
Since it's about to be a year almost.
Okay.
I have a new relationship, which I ended my previous relationship. That was a really long.
How long had you been in a relationship?
9 years.
Nine joints.
Yeah. So
and that all that all ended after your mom?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I think being a homeowner and buying a house is a different kind of gain, but you lose, like you said, like you don't have beef patties up the block no more. You don't have your brother to come and fix your sink for you and shit. You have to learn all that stuff. So you're gaining this other new thing, but you're losing your family. I'm losing like my immediate friend circle. Mm-hmm. Coming into a new city where I can't drive or swim. You know, those are losses and gains in a way.
Well, you could drive. You don't have a car. You don't have a license?
I don't have a license.
Oh, never had one.
Never.
Real New Yorker.
New York shit, man. Come on, man. Like,
do either Meech or Juice drive?
Hell no. Meech can drive. Me and Meech can drive. I don't know if Juice will get a car.
I can't. You know, it's interesting. If I were to guess, I would have had Juice as the least likely at driving.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's hard for me to picture.
Juice is the worst vision of us three. That's why I said that.
Really?
Yeah. He has to wear his glasses. He can't see anything without his glasses.
Yo, it's so funny because you were just talking about your mom and obviously vision. And I just got glasses 2 weeks ago in my mid-40s.
Was it like one of those moments you're like, damn, I'm getting old?
Yeah, a bit.
They fit you though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know how much I couldn't see. I know that I went and did, you wouldn't know this because you don't have a license, but when you go to renew your license, you do like this bullshit. You don't have to like go to the DMV. You can go to like a pharmacy or whatever and do the bullshit vision test. And they'll just like, you know, you can fax it over or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when I went to go do that like a year ago, I felt myself barely passing it, and it was bullshit. Like it's not a hard test. Mm-hmm. They'll give anyone a license, which is crazy. And I felt myself struggling,
squinting and shit.
Yeah. And so then as time went on, I just noticed like things weren't as sharp driving at night. Like the exit signs on the turnpike, it would be like, I'd have to get closer to see
to
things.
See
like
it. Damn.
So mm-hmm. Natalie and I were at the Gucci store, and I just saw these glasses, and I put them on for fun. Okay. She was like, those look really good on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know what? Say less. I'm getting these. Okay. And once I had frames I liked, that was the motivation that I'm like, all right, now I'm going to go to a doctor and see what's up. And that's I went to them. They were like, you have a terrible stigma. You got
stigmatism.
Stigmatism.
I got one too in this eye.
Yeah, and I don't even know what it means. I don't understand it.
I think your eyeball is shaped differently.
Yeah, it's the shape of it, but
it's like an oval, not a circle or some shit.
So she was like, you have a really
big stigmatism and like basically I'm nearsighted and farsighted. Like I, so these are progressives. I jumped right into the, I got three different visions. I got crazy vision, son. Yeah. And I'm learning how to like, I have to turn because if I go like this, if I just look, you can't look side to side or down with your eyeballs with these. You have to turn where you want to be looking or you might catch blurry. Anyways, it's just one of those things that I hadn't ever thought about. And in doing it, I noticed that like, I thought it was a really interesting experience that I'd never heard another person talk about. Like no one's ever told me. Like, hey, it's weird getting glasses. You put them on. Yo, the day, do you wear them at all?
Yeah.
So what do you have? What's your situation?
I can't see shit up close.
You can't see shit.
So if people are like, yo, look at this, I got to like back up. Like, yo.
So your glasses are then for like your phone and stuff?
Yeah.
So you can hold your phone regular and not have to go like this.
Phone and like laptop. If I'm on a computer a long time, I'll do it.
You put them on.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know if you had this experience, but like the second I got the glasses, once I then take them off, the shit is blurrier than it ever.
Yeah.
Then if I wait another, like, I'll close my eyes for like another 10 seconds. When I reopen them, it starts to feel like what it used to feel like pre-glasses.
Yeah.
But when I first take them off,
it's weird as fuck.
I can't see shit.
Yeah, that happens.
And then I'm like, wait a second. Are these making me more blind? You know, and I get why people think that because you get used to it, right?
Yeah, you get used to it. Then you realize how fucked up your vision really is.
Yeah, and then here's the craziest part. The whole stupid myth of like glasses like look smarter, it works on me. I actually feel smarter with my glasses. I do. I'll see myself on screen.
I'm smart.
I'll be like, yo, I do look smart up there. Like, I'm just as dumb as I was, but I swear when I see me, I would take me more seriously right now.
But if they weren't Gucci, if they were like CVS shades, you think you would still look smarter?
I might look even smarter. Honestly, it could be even smarter.
You might be right.
Because let's be honest,
low key.
The smartest people in the world, they're not wearing Gucci frames. It's inherently dumb to spend money on Gucci frames. Like, right?
I'm never going to buy that.
Right.
I'm smart.
They get their shit at the CVS. Right. What glasses can I get these in? And they walk out.
Yeah.
You know all the rich people you see? Whenever you really... Next. Yo, LA is the worst too because you see so many people who are rich on different levels. Like, yo, bro, you like... You're a fashionista of sorts. I'm sure you've bought yourself a nice item before.
Okay.
A piece of clothing that you spent some cash on. I'm flying. This is dope. Oh, wow. And then like you'll go out to a random Laker game and there's just like nondescript LA people wearing the most outrageous shit. And you're like, I get angry. I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are?
And the thing is, they can't even wear layers because it's too hot most of the time. So it's like, it's just weird. Like,
I saw a Celebro the other day. The NBA posted Celebro at the Lakers game. Everyone was trying to wear these big ass jackets. And I'm like, this is you're reaching right now. So among the things that you lost, the other things. You made it sound like some were habits too. Like, did you change weed?
Weed. I would say my diet changed too. I gained a lot of weight.
In a good way?
In a good way. I feel like it's healthy weight. I feel like I'm 6'3". I should be over 200 pounds. I was definitely under 200 pounds, which means that I probably was a little of the D word, a little depressed, maybe a little bit, just not eating and not focusing on my nutrition. You know, I do a little yoga now. That's a new habit. That's a good one. You know,
how often are we yoga-ing?
I try to do now once a week.
Okay.
Yep.
Get your little stretch on. You do hot yoga or regular?
Regular.
All right.
Yep. I have a yoga mat now behind my couch.
Look at you.
Yeah, you know, come on now. When you start getting up there, if you can't touch your toes, bro, you can say pause or whatever. That's not good, bro.
Nah, man. It's so fast.
That's not good for you, bro.
You don't want to get to a place where, like I'll say this right now to people listening to the show. If you... Be realistic for yourself. If it's been a while since you've been in the gym or anything, like, do you think you can comfortably go sit on the floor if you have to and get back up off the floor? Like, that's a small
Indian
thing.
Indian style, too?
Like, you get down, cross your legs. And I'm not saying you have to be able to push yourself up from the seated position. I've never been able to do that well. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm just saying, to be able to, like, literally be on the floor if you have to, because it's something you take for granted.
For sure.
But, like, I was in the gym the other day in my building, and my next door neighbor, Dave, he's probably Natalie's in the other room, but she doesn't have a microphone. I got to give you a microphone, babe. I would guess Dave is like 75, something like that. And he was at the gym the other day. And in addition to all his other workouts, I was just impressed when I saw him get down on the floor and he was stretching. And I'm like, I don't know how well my parents would do trying to get down on the floor and get back up in their 70s. That might be a wrap. And there are people out there right now in their 30s and 40s who let it get away from them.
That's a fact.
And like, hey, if you can't get up and you like, it's already bad enough that when you get to a certain age, you always feel like you're one quick step away from an injury. Have you had that move yet? Have you had the moment where you bend over quick and you feel that pinch in the lower back?
Especially basketball. I used to just like not have to stretch. Like if I don't stretch, my shins are going to be on fire the next day. Like my whole shit is just fucked up.
I've told this story before. I don't know if on the podcast, but I've told this before. But when I in 2017, I played in the NBA celebrity game. Obviously, it was a bad year. I remember that. It was hot. I hit a shot. Everybody saw it. Everyone who knows me saw. Y'all saw what time it was. So in the lead up to that game, at that point, I'd been living in New York for like 10 years.
Okay.
I've never played basketball in New York. I'm going to be honest, of all the things that I was ready to brave about New York, rolling up to like West 4th with a ball was not one of them. I played in Maryland and I just never felt comfortable rolling up. And so as the years went on in New York, with very rare exceptions, did I ever pick up a basketball. Mm. So it's been 10 years at the time. I'm 37 now. Mm. It's the difference between last playing in my late 20s and now is my late 30s. So I get out there and shout out to my man Jeff Sanchez from the NBA. Jeff is like, I know some people have a pickup game. It's a good run. You know, you should go hit it leading up to the game. So I started hitting this run. And the first time I went out there and played, and I was fatter. Like I looked different than I look now. It was a different era for me, period. But I get out there, my shit was on, my Achilles were on fire.
Cooked.
I've never felt it though. Have you ever had your Achilles be on fire before?
Oh yeah.
So I never had that.
What the fuck is that?
So afterwards I'm like, oh my God, like this is a weird feeling. What the fuck? So I go to a doctor and I'm like, I've never had a thing like this. And he's like, he checked them out and he was like, there's nothing wrong with them. You're old and you need to wear a brace or you're going to blow your shit out is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He was like, so when you play, under your socks, you know, you got to throw on an ankle brace. That's how it's going to be.
Hey.
And I was like, bro, if I hadn't done that, and I tried to get cute at the celebrity game and blew my Achilles out.
In front of all those people, bro, you would have been sick.
I don't think I ever could have recovered.
You couldn't live that down.
It happened to someone a couple years ago, an Achilles or an ACL. No, you can't do that, bro.
Nah, bro, you better go get your checkup before you go to play these games, bro.
I'm telling you, and now my 40s, I'd be even... I don't know what I play. The only sport I'll play now would be like I'll play in a charity softball game. And by the way, even that.
The running too on that.
Because you naturally, after you make contact, and by the way, all I do is ground out. I've played like 8 of these games. I swear to you, I've grounded out almost every single time. But you instinctively, when you make contact, really try to take off. And that's when you can tear your whole shit.
Oh, yeah, that first move.
That first
too.
Step.
Like, oh, shit.
God forbid someone chase you down the street and you really be on the run.
Right? See?
So you're doing yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not smoking weed.
Not smoking weed.
How's your like social media phone interaction game? I struggle there a lot.
This is the most popular I've been as by myself. And I just feel like the phone is like, it's just poison sometimes. Like, everybody's reminded. Like, look, bro, I've been saying this a lot. I don't post pictures. I'm not that vain. We all have some vanity. But, like, I won't post a picture where I look like shit on the internet.
Right.
But sometimes I look like shit. It's times when you look like shit. You know? It's just the way life is. We don't post those pictures on the internet. So imagine how many people are looking at themselves every day looking amazing. You know?
Exactly.
And we're all seeing that version of each other all the time. Girls, guys, animals.
Yep.
All we're looking at is like perfect versions of everybody's life.
It's so fucking
weird. And there's people just like, oh man, I wish that was me. This person never looks like this. And then on top of that, they have a filter. And then you're like, Jesus Christ, my skin. Oh man, drop that skincare routine, sis. And it's like, her skin is not always like that. Today is lit. That's why I took the picture. But imagine what that's doing to us, like all day, like nonstop doing that shit. I feel it's a distraction as well. That's why.
Why don't I see you?
Fuck, like, man. I don't know.
But I follow you, and I don't feel like you're in my algorithm at all.
It's probably from this bullshit, bro.
I'm going to just look through all your stories right now and click on a bunch of your shit.
I've been following you for years.
No, I don't care. I mean, here's a nice smile. Look at you.
See?
Look at you doing some street marketing. Street marketing.
That's what I mean.
Now, by the way, you and I could be a really good test for our own egos. You have 335,000 followers now. I have 334,000 followers. We could really check in 5 years.
Like, see where we at.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something right now. And I'm guessing you've had some pretty good social media growth over the last couple of years, right?
For sure.
That would be my assumption. Mm-hmm. That shit, too, will kill you. So not only are you dealing with comparing yourself. And when I got into my therapy, when I got serious, I did 12-step and got in. I'd always been in therapy, but when I got in 12-step, it's a different kind of therapy. And I started thinking about things in a different way. I don't remember who said it to me for the first time, but when someone said to me, I think it was my therapist, Paul. He said, stop comparing your inside to other people's outside. I was like, yo.
That's a bar.
It's a real bar. And that's an actual bar. Wow. Not like a TikTok video pretend bar.
Nah, that's
because here's the thing. When I go on IG and I see what people are posting, those things that you just described, like, let me get your skincare regimen, sis. I'm comparing that to who I am, like, at my core.
For sure.
But I don't know what.
Yeah, it's not on the other end. It's not like you're seeing them for the inside. You're seeing the outside only.
Right? I said something on the podcast once, and some of our listeners in Discord, because again, social media is toxic and I shouldn't look at it, but there are beloved Discord listeners, so I have to love them.
I don't consider Discord social media.
And no, it's not.
Yeah,
it's funny. It's
community-based.
It's funny. You think of a chat room now, it's like a completely different, so much healthier relative to that. But no, it wasn't even in the Discord. I don't remember who said it. But it was probably an IG comment. It was an IG comment. It was not my Discord.
It gotta be.
So I said on the podcast to Sife at some point a while ago, I said, one of the things I hate about social media is that it will make me feel like I'm not rooting for people I root for. Mm. Like actually people I like. Mm. I will instinctively have a moment where I'm hating. Because that's just how it can affect me. And like some nasty person on social media thought I was like such a horrible person for saying this. And I'm like, no, I'm being real with you about what this device can make me feel. Like I have specific people in my mind who I love. I root for them. If they called and told me something good happened, I'd be like, wow, really? Tell me more. I would care. But yet it may come up on my timeline in such a way.
And you're like,
exactly.
Man, please.
Tired of your bullshit.
Especially if you just posted the same shit yesterday. It's just like, but
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. But it's fucked up that it gotta be that we're conditioned to like not it. How can I explain it? It's almost like I wanna see what I wanna see on my phone, right? And then that's based on like you just said, we've been following each other for years, but I don't pop up on your shit. Maybe it's like for whatever reason, the thing that I want to see right now is not showing up. So guess what? I don't like any of it, you know? Like,
bro.
I don't like any of this. And it's like, this is your cousin. Fuck my cousin. It's like all these people. Because you didn't see what you wanted to see. You wanted to see the new Tesla model. And this shit didn't pop up on your shit. Or it's like, you want to see just Knick sports, which I'm all my feet right now is all Knick shit.
Right, because they're playing well this season.
You know?
But you're following, this is where you're at.
But like those shits, I'm getting all the likes and comments and I'm in the comments. But if it's somebody, it could be your boy's new song. You don't hate him. It's just that at this moment, you don't want to see that. Like, and it's by chance. It's not like it's an order for something that you enjoy. It's randomized.
But because I'm a sick, damaged person, I will look at, not always, I'm not that sick, but occasionally, a couple times a week maybe.
Okay.
I will look at who liked my post.
Oh, I've never done that.
Yeah, you're not as sick as me.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, there's levels to this. There's levels to this depravity. You've never clicked on.
Nah, bro. So you could see who liked it.
Yeah.
And then you could search if the person didn't like it.
Oh, you could search too. I don't even mean that. But like, let's say a reel, let's say I'm like, oh, this reel did really well. It got 50,000 views, 100,000 views, whatever. If I then go click on that number, it will then show you the list of likes.
Oh, yeah. I don't ever click that.
And at the top of that list will be the people that you follow.
Oh, shit. Really?
So you see which people you follow.
That liked it.
That liked it. So like my wife, Miss Haddon, she's always at the top. I'll be like, oh, there's Natalie. There's my dad. And to your point, maybe it's about algorithms. Sometimes I'm like, yo. A lot of people that I fuck with just don't like anything that I post. And they're like, well, do they even see anything that I post?
That's what it usually is, bro. They'll come up something, especially when you say buy now or tickets in. You may not see that shit for like a week.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Like, it's just, I think it
picks it out. How fucked up is it when you promote something?
That's what I mean.
How little love it gets. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
always less.
Specifically, yeah, like if you put
you
up.
Nerf your post when you do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, I'm sure when you make a big announcement, like when you announced your album, for sure it got tons of engagement. But then when it comes to the more specific promotion, it just goes down.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. They just keep you constantly searching for more.
Bro, it's a validation that you get from looking at those numbers, and you get this little endorphin shot every time you click.
Bro, that's so, do you think there's a possibility we could get to a point in time where people consider the like phone and internet and social media sort of like smoking, where it's like you wouldn't let a kid do that. Like that's just not done. Because we are fucking these kids up, bro.
It can be. And you know why I think that? Because this year is the first year that I've seen people openly be like, I'm not drinking. And I was like, oh shit. It was like I don't know if it's a trend or on TikTok, because I don't really be fucking with it. But Matt, because I stopped for a little while too, or I just have wine. Like I don't really drink hard shit no more either. But when I did it, I'm not saying because I did it, but
that
was
it.
I was like, damn, is this popping up on my feet? Because I'm blah, blah, blah. But mad people was like, this week, I'm off of it. And then you're like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to just do it for a month. And they're like, yo, alcohol free, mocktail life. And I'm like, oh, so, you know, damn. I mean, during COVID is probably when everybody was like, fuck it. I'm going to drink. I'm going to get fat. I'm going to da, da, da. You come out of it, and then people are kind of more open minded, at least to a degree. And now I feel like 4 years into whatever we are now, people are starting to like notice that bad habits are not good and they're actually lame, you know, to be like, I'm going to be mad toxic and not care about myself and my body, you know, at least to me.
But when would we, it's such a conundrum, because in order to sort of get that way about our phones, we would have to see it on our phones.
That's a fact.
Like we're so deep in it.
That's a fact.
Like I, when I even think about, like, I will think about getting one of these, like, you could get one of these like flip phones that kind of connects to your iPhone.
Seen those.
You know what I mean? And so you can leave your iPhone at home.
It has no social media, but it has the ability to call and shit.
Yeah, it might have maps on it. But of course, as time went on, they started adding more and more. At first, it was just a phone. Then it was like phone and text message. Then it was like, all right, phone, text message, map. Then it's like, all right, we're going to put an MP3 player on here. But what it doesn't have is any social media. And I'll be honest, that's the biggest one. Like, if you don't have TikTok, IG, X, whatever the fuck it is, if you don't have that, like, I don't feel toxic feelings from looking at my text.
No.
Text is
different.
I still probably text a lot, and you know, but it's communicating with people I care about. Like, that's,
nobody,
I'm choosing to communicate with you, either business or personal.
What about DMs, though?
Yeah, I mean, DMs are interesting, right? Because you have some people that you only communicate with on DM.
It's crazy, right?
Even people that you have their number, because there are the people that you don't even have their number.
Yeah,
you only talk on DM.
It's so weird, right?
But see, I'm still old. Like even today, because I texted you and it didn't come up. I don't think you got it. I hit you with a random yo. It didn't even get me delivered. So I was like, been too long. So when I DM'd you, within like a minute, I send you my number because I'm old. Like, I'm just like, take my phone number.
I got you.
Not because there's anything wrong with it, but just because if I'm in a pinch, I'm going to forget to DM. Like, I'm old enough that I'm going to think like, I got to send a text.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is interesting. But I would, every time I think about the prospect of switching to a phone like that, immediately, like, this shit is so in us that I have something that goes, no, you can't do that. You, how are you going to promote all year?
One of the producers on my album has no social media.
Is it James Blake?
Hell no. What? James has some of the best social commentary to me.
Oh, really? Maybe I should be following James
Blake. He's great.
I didn't know much about him until I was looking up. I honestly ended up, because James Blake has how many records did he produce on your album?
4.
So because of that, I ended up on his Wikipedia page. And then, so I'm just now going down the rabbit hole of James Blake. Mm-hmm. So there's a producer on your album. Do I know the producer?
Yeah, maybe. His name is Dawood. He produced the last track.
And he has no social.
No. I met him when I worked with T-Minus. And we all had a session together in Toronto. And I was like, he was like... I was like, what is that? I thought he didn't want me to give me his number. Like, he's like, nah, I'm gonna give you my phone number. And I was like, oh shit, that's cool. He was like, I don't have any social media, bro. And I was like, what? He was like, I don't have it on my phone. I don't have an account. You can't tag me anything. He's like, I just make beats, and his beats are fucking fantastic. So,
yo, don't you admire it?
I thought it was, I was a little jealous, bro. I was like, damn, I wish I had that power, you know, but.
But here's the thing. We all trick ourselves in. Like, here's the ill thing. I think I gotta be on social media. I gotta promote my shit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's someone else who's younger than me, who's trying to get into media, who they're all they have is, say, a podcast or YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and they feel like, oh, I need to promote all my shit.
For sure.
And they probably go, if I was Rosenberg and I was just on the radio all day, I wouldn't even have social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The fuck do you need it for? I'm on old ass medium anyway. 8 hours a day, I have a platform to talk. Do I really need?
Dude.
But here's the thing. In our bullshit world of needing to prove who we are to everyone, I need the social media world to see the clips of me doing radio.
Right.
So I look like I'm doing radio.
Right.
Even though that only gets X amount of impressions versus when I'm on the actual box in New York, way more people are hearing it, but they're not typing it. It's not, there's no proof of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like if you don't have a picture of it, and did it happen?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I'll see celebrities. Obviously, we got to get to some wrestling.
Ooh.
The Rock. Yo, my man never stops posting.
Ever. Ever.
I'm like,
ever. Wait.
I'm like, what level does one have to get to? Like, if you're The Rock,
bro,
I'm gonna ask him. I'm praying strong. I very much hope I run into him in Philadelphia for WrestleMania. Mm. And I do. If I get a moment, I'm like, ask you a question. I know the business purpose of it, like, to some degree, but I could tell it's you. Like, I can tell that is not your social media manager.
He wants to talk.
No, you can tell it's Dwayne.
Yeah, for sure.
You could tell it's Dwayne for on sure. those messages, like, for sure. And, like, Natalie follows Courtney Cox and really enjoys her content.
Okay.
Courtney Cox was one of the fucking friends. All right? You were a fucking friend.
Literally.
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 Y'all are in a different category of TV. You never have to work again just from that. And she did mad other shit, like all the Scream movies and mm-hmm. different. Yo, she's the only friend who was doing shit before Friends.
That's a fact.
She was on Family Ties when I was a kid.
That's what, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you watch old TV with your mom.
Yeah, facts.
She was mm-hmm. out here. She was in Dancing with the Dark by Bruce Springsteen.
Damn.
So she did her thing.
Damn.
Then she's the star of Friends, where they eventually get to what, a million an episode or whatever it was, and their seasons will be like 30 episodes, a million each. Back then.
Cashing out. Yeah.
And then investing, doing what. Now, granted, I don't want my wife to yell at me. Her content is very good. It's funny mm-hmm. and well produced, and it's not like, it's like everything she posts is basically a sketch.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'd have to ask her. I don't know how often she posts. I feel like it's not constant, but when she posts.
Not as often as The Rock.
She ain't The Rock.
Yeah. Okay.
She's not sipping a Terramana on a plane every night, you know? But I still, it crossed my mind. I'm like, damn, if I was Courtney Cox,
would you?
Would I feel the need to do it? Or maybe it's the opposite. And it's like she's bored. She's not doing shit all the time and she still wants to perform for people.
It could be, bro.
But I would love to never even think about it. To be that person with me, oh, you can't follow me. Just,
what do we got to do to get to that point?
I don't know. I mean, how much do you think you're, honestly, being really critical, how much do you think your social media legitimately drives people to your music at this point?
I think it's so important.
You do?
I do.
So being an indie artist, you think that like it is a very direct.
I think if I wasn't a cult followed artist, it would hurt me a lot more. I think a lot of people with I can't compare what we have as Flapper Zombies to anybody else, really. Like maybe Tech N9ne, somebody like him. If he didn't have social media, I think he would be good. I think that his fans would find him if his tickets and it was an email. It had to be some other form of reaching out, but I don't think he needed social media to promote his new tour. Because at this point, if you're a Strange Music fan, you know what he's doing. I feel like Flatbush Zombies, we have something similar, but that's not, I'm fortunate for that, but we've groomed that because of how much we care about our fans. But does it, for me, for my new shit, I needed social media for sure, because the Flatbush Zombies fans are one fans, but you have fans with Meech, Juice, and Eric too. And
well, and you guys, you know, have the whole,
and it's Beast Coves, and
it's
got,
all the Beast, it's, yeah, all Beast Coves.
It's we all need, like, even what Joey's doing. Joey's in a completely different, like, he's a movie star. Like, for him to just delete his social media at this point is like, did you see, he's going to miss all the tea about him on this TV show that's going on every day.
Well, no, and now he's in an interesting spot because his career shifted so much in other ways. When he drops an album, he needs to tell all the people who follow him that he dropped an album.
For sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it does sort of, it gets complicated when you're doing different things. But like, realistically, like, bruh, when I'm about to do a kickoff show for one of the PLEs, do I really have to tell wrestling fans, yo, Backlash is tonight? They know.
They know. Yeah, they tapped in.
And they're either watching the kickoff show or they're not.
Oh, they're not.
I mean, I really, maybe a tiny percentage goes, oh, shit, I forgot Rosenberg's going to be. Like, maybe if you're like a real follower of mine, like you listen to my podcast and you really care. But even those people, if they really fuck with me, they probably already have that. They always turn on the kickoff show because they fuck with me.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm always on.
That's true.
Let me tell people about WrestleMania coming up. Like, bro,
that's true.
It's going to get a billion impressions. Do they really? So I think we could get away from it. Now, obviously, I like the example you used of tech because you're staying in the realm of like very big, but not like Eminem, right? Eminem doesn't need, he could delete his
period,
his social. Jay doesn't really use social. Mm-hmm. He has it at times, doesn't utilize it at all. You know, obviously when you get to that stratosphere, like Billie Eilish doesn't have to post. It's actually one of the things that bugs me out about Doja Cat so much. She just drives me fucking crazy with her social media. I just,
didn't she delete it recently?
Like yesterday I heard. But like Doja is like I said, like I'm damaged. Like Doja, in Doja I see someone who's like worse off than me even, and I'm like, sis, you're the shit, bro. Like you literally can do everything. You do not, but the thing is, it's her world. You can't tell someone.
It's hard, bro.
Don't be interested. That's her life. That's where she's from.
Yeah, it's hard, bro.
You know?
She's been doing this shit for a long time, too. So
right, that's why, as Nori says, she was in racist chat room showing feet. Because it was her world. I'm not kink shaming, but it was her world. You can't get someone to be like, don't do chat rooms if that's literally kind of part of how
that's
you...
That's your shit. Yeah, what do you...
I mean, so it doesn't matter how much I tell you, it's stupid. She's going to care. But I'm like, the shit keeps coming and biting you. You either post something you shouldn't post. You wear something you shouldn't wear. Someone hurts your feelings. You know, like, it's just a never-ending cycle. And meanwhile, it's like, she made it to that. Like, Doja is at... I think she's pretty much at the level of could delete everything.
For sure.
When she drops, she's dropping.
Her fans would be really upset if they're not upset already, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. She's going to upset them anyway. I feel like it's a constant roller coaster. Meanwhile, she drops like straight up like rap records and they chart like pop records. Like she can literally do whatever she wants. It's like, it's wild.
It's a rare thing.
It's a strange thing. Let's talk more about the album. I'm excited for people to check it out. It's like, it is not a Flatbush Zombies album.
No.
No, it is not. It's vibey. It's a very vibey. Is that safe to describe it that way?
Okay.
Like it's a nice put it on and ride kind of album.
Okay. I like that.
I mean, it's how would you describe it sonically? I'm going to play a little while we're talking. I'll play a little taste here, but
yeah, I think honestly, I think it's the most diverse album I've heard this year so far. I haven't really, like we said earlier, I don't really be checking to what people be doing.
Right, so we'll take what you say at face value.
So take it at face value, but I don't think that you're going to really find that from somebody else's music, being able to switch all the styles like that, you feel me? From psychedelic rock to almost folk, with the Breaking Point, that song I have with Baby Rose and Rude Cat and Pale J, to Beef Patty with Boy Boy, which is dance hall. Then you got psychedelic hip-hop shit with George Clinton, you know?
How did you get the George Clinton record?
Bro, I really manifested that. Like, I was like, wow, I had written the song already, me and my boy, and I was just like, wow, we should get George Clinton on this. And he basically, somebody texted me or called me and said, yo, do you want to do a photo shoot with George Clinton? Maybe a couple weeks after we manifested that. Then I met him and I asked him if he wanted to be on my album. He was like, hell yeah. And he came off tour and did it.
Wait, how'd you meet him?
From a photo shoot.
So at, wait, what photo shoot?
It was a market photo shoot, the brand market.
And y'all were both in it?
Mm-hmm.
And was he familiar with you, or you just got to kick it with him long enough where he felt you as a person?
I don't even know.
To this day, you don't know?
No, I don't know. I feel like he just vibed with me that day. We was vibing, and I just told him I knew one of his somebody else he collaborated with, him, my homie's Black Odyssey, and I was like, bro, you did a record with my boy. I'm a fan. Like, I have a spot for you on my album if you bless my album. He was like, yeah, just like that. A lot of you not.
Now listen, I can't be shocked, because he came to the station once, and that is the energy he gives.
Is 1,000%.
Like just a Jersey dude. Like it's
yeah. He 82.
He's 80.
Tapped in. He like, yeah, Griselda.
Nah.
Yeah, he said Griselda. The song he's on with has Benny on it. So I was like, yeah, bro. When he, but he told me like, yeah, cause Griselda. And I was like, oh shit, excuse me.
Nah.
Like, damn. Like, my pops is younger than him. He has no idea who the fuck Westside Gunn is, all those people. My dad, younger than him, he's 82 years old. He knew what's going on, you know. And I mean, at that time, he agreed to it without hearing the record, but he easily could have been like, yo, nah, I'm good. But by the time I sent it to him, he was like, I dig it and I got you. So that's how it came to be.
Cali bars, we just raised the fiends. Skated on the ops with the trip. We just reigned supreme. Flatbush on the top.
Did you write for him, or you just told him to go out and do what he wanted to do?
We sent him a reference of what we wanted him to do. It was like a 16 bar part. So at the end of the second verse, there's like that open space. We just wrote something we thought he would say. And that's what he sent. We sent it, and he sent me back a verse of the whole song. We didn't even ask him to do that. He was like, I was feeling it. So I did a whole like dub over the whole song, like ad-libs and all those little like interesting atmospheric parts and shit, you know.
Yeah, you must have bugged out.
Bugged the fuck out.
Was that the craziest bug out in the album process for you?
That one, it's hard to top that, bro.
Yeah, I don't know how you top that.
It's hard to top that. I would say working with Layla Hathaway was also, you know,
she's pretty sick.
She's incredible. She's an incredible person. Her and Donnie are like top for me. I think Donnie's my favorite vocalist of all time.
I mean,
so
it's a reasonable
just that lineage, just to even be part of, just to have my name associated with that family is a blessing to me. And meeting her was incredible. You know, she, I don't know, 7 or 9 Grammy nominations.
Yeah, no, she's super talented.
Like, that's crazy. Incredible voice, incredible person. She was all into Final Fantasy and video games and shit. She came in my crib like, yo, you a nerd? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm a nerd. She was like, me too. I was like, oh shit. She was like, oh,
you a nerd? She thought you might have been like a cool rapper or something.
Yeah, I'm like, I ain't no cool rapper, bro. I play Final Fantasy, bro. I'm like, yo, oh well. Like, she was like, nah, I'm totally into that. She had an Oculus and all this shit she was telling me about. That's the last thing I thought we were gonna talk about before making a song like that, you know. And all these songs were recorded in my living room.
Really?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. Where in Los Angeles are you?
I can't tell you that.
You won't even go.
I'm on the east side. I'm on the east
side. East side.
I'm on the east side. I don't want anybody to know where I live, bro.
No, you know what? It's LA.
Facts.
LA is that people go to get away from problems, but then somehow miraculously find problems.
New ones, unfortunately.
I mean, you're right, bro. There are a lot of different vibes on here, man.
Yeah.
The album came out just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
February 23rd.
Time ticks by 6, 7, 8. Gotta slow it down, gotta change your fate. I see the God in everyone on the center stage. That's liberate, that's liberate. Time ticks by 6, 7, 8, 7, 8. Gotta slow it down, gotta change your fate.
Change your fate.
I see the God in everyone on the center stage.
Center stage.
That's liberate, that's liberate.
Liberate.
How you my family when your sister and your mammy ugly?
Music had to grip on me like your own mama hugged it. I drown in thought without evolve of understanding that I fly alone and my emotions brought a planet back. Shit, can't manage that. Big screen to Miramax. I was just a young nigga, had my soul tinted black. Just a young nigga.
It's good shit, bro.
Thank you, bro.
No zombies on here.
Nah. Nah.
Fuck them. I'm with you, man. It's enough, man. Sometimes you gotta leave these hanger-oners behind. You know what I mean?
Bro, the funniest shit that I've been seeing, people like, man, you don't fuck with them. I'm like, you want me to FaceTime me trying out and laugh? We both point at you and laugh you in your fucking face.
But this
idiot.
That's a forever. That's like, I talked to Benny about the same thing with his literal family. That's their literal family. Yeah. And it's still the same thing.
It's crazy. People are sick though. And they create narratives that don't exist. And it's so funny to me because it's like, you think music is ever going to separate me from my bet? We've known each other. I've known Meech since he's 4 years old. You think some rap shit is going to, what?
See, that's the thing that's different. Let me explain the difference. Guys, like for example, me and Saif have always only barely gotten along. Our break, if we ever like truly hate each other, it's completely reasonable. We were never friends before anything. Like, we were friends now, and our being friends is catching up on this show, you know what I mean? And, like, we have a good time. We definitely have a real kinship and care. Yeah. You know, if, like, I stepped out on the balcony and accidentally flipped, you know, all of a sudden Eric went crazy and gave me a straight Royal Rumble clothesline over the balcony, I think Saif would be sad. But, like, it's different with these cats who are, like, literally friends since childhood.
Yeah.
You mean it's like Wu-Tang.
Facts. That's what, like, I'm saying.
Wu-Tang never, they have problems sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, your case, you guys haven't even had any public problems.
There's no problems, my
like,
G. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Like, in the case of Wu-Tang, at least they have an occasional moment where one of them's kind of like, eh. Usually it's just like different periods of people being annoyed with RZA, right? But by the way, yeah, that was the intention.
Yeah,
he's the guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one to be annoyed with. Mm-hmm. He made the decision, it's going to be me if y'all want to do it. But just know, it's going to
be
me.
Me, I'm RZ.
Yeah. Shout to NSYNC.
Shout out to the RZ.
It's going
to
be me. It's going to be me. But the RZA is going to be that. Dude, have you
Bobby
guys...
Bobby Digital.
Have you had a Wu-Tang or a RZA?
Yeah.
What did
we
you do again?
We did a three-pack, I believe. We did
Zombies
and
RZA.
Yeah, I co-produced one of them that we put out, Quentin Tarantino. We had a whole, each song was from a different director. So we had Plug Addicts. I think that one was more Kubrick. And then we had Quentin Tarantino.
I don't know if I've heard the song.
Yeah, it's a video too. He walks the streets at night. Yeah. Low key, this is like a sleep. To me, it came out. To me, records are always interesting when they come out. That's when people remember them. I feel like sometimes they don't have the biggest outreach, the initial people like getting it, because we just said social media, all that shit. But like, I feel like we're in a time now where people will dig and they can have a huge resurgence by tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, yo, how do we sleep on this? You know? So many blessings, I'm in my four corner room, staring at candles, yeah, feeling like I'm dancing in the moonlight. I wear these sunglasses at night.
So wait, you said you co-produced this with RZA?
This one, yeah.
How did that work? I mean,
to be honest,
as a producer, that is like the craziest nerd out of all time,
bro. The thing is, RZA is, and we so the two songs, we did videos for them too. So, you know, when we first worked with him, he was like, yo, actually, funny story. The first time we ever met him, we did a Burton show. And
Burton, the ski company.
Yeah, the ski company. And he was headlining and we opened for him. And I remember, like, he came into the green room and I knew I was going to be RZA that day. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, you have all these excited fucking thoughts. Like, yo, what is it? What am I going to say to him? He comes up and starts freestyling, bro. Some like super metaphysical, out of this world shit. RZA, blah, 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 blah. And we was looking at him like, do we go now? Like, I'm not gonna cut him.
Wait, no. He just started going.
Started rapping, bro, in the green room. Like, and we were just like, yo, and there's a picture of us hanging out. Yeah, shades on the shit. And we were just like, I can't go after that. Like, you're RZA, bro. And he just like, yo, go. He like, go. Like, y'all go. Like, with some real old school hip hop shit.
He was like testing you at all?
Nah, it just was like showing
just on
love,
some,
bro.
Let's have fun.
Yeah, let's go. And I was like, bro, I did not expect that reaction. Like, cause I never met him. So, I mean, I wouldn't say at that point we were like actual friends yet, you know, but
did you force yourself to rap or did y'all just stay silent?
Nah, we didn't say shit.
Y'all was like, nah.
At least I don't, maybe Meech & Juice did, but I said nothing. I really don't remember that. I remember I said nothing. I know that.
Okay.
Yeah, years later, I mean, he reached out. We had worked on a bunch of stuff at his house. We made so many tracks together. And then he reached out again some years later and was like, yo, let's cook up. There's one of them we really liked, and I want to make some new ones with you, too. We were like, oh, shit. This is like, I can't remember if it's during COVID we started this, but it might have been like right after it or whatever, the lockdown. And that particular track, there's one more that we did that we didn't put out. And when he sent it to me, I was like, damn, I feel like I could add to this, but I don't want to, like, he's RZA, bro. Like, I don't know. At this point, he called me architect. You're architect. You could do whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yo, whatever you hear, feel free. It's yours. And he sent me the stems, and I was like, cool. And I laid the drums, and I kind of arranged it and played with it. And he was like, I love what you did. We rapped on it, and we shot the video, and we put it out, you know? So, you know.
You guys put this out, like, together?
Yeah.
This little EP?
Yeah.
All of this started from meeting at the show?
Yep.
What is it with you guys? People just like you?
Bro, there's a lot of sleepers. Bro, we got a song with Metallica, too. I don't know if you know that one.
I do not know that one.
I produced that one, too. It's the Unforgiven.
Fuck.
It was an album where they redid their greatest hits. And I think we were one of the only rappers on the entire album.
How the fuck did that happen?
Reached out.
There it is, the Unforgiven. The
Unforgiven.
With DJ Scratch, also.
DJ Scratch. Shout out DJ Scratch.
The fuck is your career? This is crazy.
I'm everywhere, bro. That's why it's like a little of everything. Why not?
Like anything sitting for a while gon' rust. That's why I stand out. And while you climb the ladder, people got their hands out. Something you don't know about. The hustle got harder, had to move about the house. I was 16, hiding condoms in my couch. But the seed gon' sprout, the elite don't doubt. And life ain't fair, that's why I'm speaking for you now. My reflection is a martyr's own. And God knows I be verbose. That's why my words always feel close. I've been protected, they want my essence. But I'm aggressive, they won't catch me. I Euro-stepped it, it's destined. Take a look at my expressions. I'm more festive and invested in my message. Unforgiving, man, they still don't see the vision. If we all pump faker, who gon' really make decisions? Why?
Yeah, that's a sleeper, bro. For sure. Woo! Yeah.
Yo, you did a what else am I forgetting? What have you done any other major outside production that I'm forgetting about?
I produced the intro of Joey Badass last album too.
I don't know if I heard
2000. I also scored the Black Sheep and Jay Dilla documentary that came out last
year. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow, so you scored that? Mm. I didn't finish yet. Was it dope?
Bro.
The part I saw was really good.
Crazy.
I was in it too. I was in it, yeah, but I didn't get to much of that part yet. But
mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, so I want everybody to know that this Joey Badass song produced by Eric the Architect is featuring Redacted.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to say something. I knew he was going to say something. That's why I didn't say anything.
Beep! Ladies and gentlemen.
That's why I didn't say anything.
And I say New York City. I'd like to introduce to you. You know, survive. He is. So he the baddest motherfucker in town. I could take 5 years off cause my shit is timeless. My core got my back, so I'm standing on my promise. These niggas only backed by their labels, they all spineless. I'm backed by popular demand and on that time. And I popped out 2012, y'all wasn't outside then. 10 years later, tell me why y'all still hiding. Niggas know who greatest.
Listen, I think that we've
the greatest day. Never could the greatest, and I did it with no major eye.
I think we've made clear why you need to spend time with I've Never Been Here Before, the Eric the Architect album. And maybe this will send you down the rabbit hole of all things Flatbush Zombies as well.
Facts.
Feel like for a while we were like inextricably connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like you guys were like really like part of my regular spiel when I was like talking about rap at that time, which was a lot. It was like, you know, Joey, Bronson,
yeah,
Zombies,
yeah.
We're like, I probably my like number one hitters of that time in that 2012, 2013.
Early. You one of the first people that really could see beyond and just be like, you know, yeah, still people writing shit like, these people worship the devil. And I'm like, bruh.
Oh, yeah.
Cut that by the shit way, the fuck
it's so
out
funny.
Here.
I barely even like got that. Like, I was just like,
Juice's grandma is a pastor. Like, you think this guy is part of some fucking shit? Like, I grew up in church. Me and Meech went to church together.
Yeah, people go right to devil stuff very quickly.
It's so crazy to me. It's
like people are just high and being weird, bro. It's not like that deep.
And then there was like the association with the gravediggers, and then we actually meet the RZA. So it was like, oh, of course. And then you got,
oh, it was the word zombie too.
Yeah.
But this is
it's also the voice. It's Meech's voice too. I feel like a lot of people associate. I'm like, he can't help how he sounds, bro. Like, he's not channeling Lucifer. Like,
yeah, there are certain
people crazy.
There are certain subjects in which Black Americans are often, obviously not always, often shockingly conservative, and one is any mention of like things related to
that shit.
Zombie, post-death.
Yeah, voodoo horror. And shit. They don't fuck with that shit.
And obviously it taps into various different cultural things depending on where the person's background is from. But there's something there. A lot of it just ties back into church shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that word zombie probably
scared a lot of people away. I remember one of my homies, Steven, was getting a haircut in Miami. And then he was like, oh shit, they playing your shit in this barbershop. This is maybe like 5 years ago. And I was like, yeah, hype, you know, you're like, oh shit. He's like, yeah, bro, they rocking with it. Oh no, it's going left. I'm like, wait,
no way.
What's going on? He's like, oh nah, they're fully verifying that you guys worship Satan. Like,
wait,
like it was like lied? A barbershop. Yeah, he's like, oh, is they fucking with it? He's like, oh, one of the barbers said, oh yeah, they fuck with the devil shit. And then they were like, yeah, word up. Like, that's the part I don't fuck with.
I'm and
like,
that was it.
And he just stopped. He's like, forget it, man. I'm sorry. I was like,
Damn,
bro, you ruined my whole hype. I was gassed, like in a barbershop. Like,
no, that's not where you expected to be. It's it's one of the places that, like, over the years, from being like the white guy at Hot 97 in our conversations, I've learned the places where I can sort of have fun and fuck with people, and like these are among the areas where I'll be like, like it's you know what it is? It's that in 90% of situations, my brain default is, white people are less cool, right? That's how, that's probably part of why I became a hip hop person, right? It's like, white people are not cool. We don't dance well. We're not cool in a lot of different ways. But then there are like these certain ways when I can spot how Black people are conservative and kind of square, I have fun. So I'm like, y'all never watched any Rob Zombie movies? And they're like, I don't fuck with the devil. I'm like, I don't fuck with the devil either, but I saw the movie The Devil's Rejects. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're like, nah, I don't fuck with none of that.
No, it had the word devil in
it. I'm good. I'm good.
No, that's a fact.
We don't fuck with that shit.
No.
Yeah, we don't
fuck with the devil. I don't fuck with zombies. I'm like,
that's so funny, bro. It's so true. Especially Caribbean people. Like, my father don't fuck with none of that shit.
Well, by the way, that's more most of my conversations are here. Mm-hmm. So mostly everyone has a Caribbean background. And then, there's all these layers of like, that. Nah.
Yeah, duppy thing that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Everything's Babylon. And I'm like, Babylon. I'm like, this isn't Babylon. This is art. I'm like, the policeman outside, that's Babylon. Yeah. This is just so weird.
It's just to
weird.
Distinguish it. It's like playing like Ouija boards and all that shit is too crazy. Like, it's like, it's unsettling. And the thought of it is dangerous. You know, don't even bring it up in my house. Like, don't leave a hat on the bed. Cause that's the duppy.
Hat on the bed's a thing.
Yeah, because it's like, who's that hat for? Who wearing that hat? Somebody going to put that hat on. Somebody that's not you going to pick that hat up.
Yo, I've never heard of some that. Shit,
yo. What's make your bed after you get up and shit.
What's your family's background?
Jamaican.
All Jamaican. What about, and Meech Jamaican, right?
Mm-hmm.
Juice?
Juice is honorary Jamaican.
So he's not Caribbean?
I don't know.
How do you not know?
Because Juice, I don't know. Juice is an anomaly, bro. I don't. Juice is Jamaican. That's it.
But we're calling it.
Yeah.
How dialed in on wrestling are you these days?
I'm more old school, bro.
So, but you haven't. Have you not checked in with The Rock's been doing?
Only the promo shit I see.
Okay, but you watch
yeah.
the promos.
Yeah, I watch the
You've seen what he's been doing, though. It's mm-hmm. been so fun, bro.
Yeah.
So you said earlier you've been watching some 80s shit?
I've been watching Survivor Series. I've been running through Survivor Series.
Started at the beginning?
Started like early, like 90.
90s, my Dipperstein, my boy. Actually, I should totally introduce you to Dipperstein. He's my agent, one of my best friends, and lives in LA.
Okay.
On paper, you guys have zero in common, but you would just get along because he's a great guy.
Okay.
But he Survivor Series 90s is his
yeah, it's so
shit.
Good, bro. I wanted to like wear like we had Edge. What the fuck? I watched The Rock's debut. That was fun.
Oh yeah, there you go.
We had Undertaker's debut, I believe.
Undertaker debuted at Survivor Series.
Yeah. We had the weird one where it was like Shawn Michaels with the Knights. That was weird as fuck.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was weird.
Yeah.
That was so
Yo,
weird.
They get to some funky teams there. It's so weird. Did you already saw the hearts when all yeah, the heart siblings come out?
Yeah, and it was like you talk about his moms and shit.
Yo,
that was crazy.
Yo,
that was crazy. That
yo,
was
when I
shit.
First when I first met Jerry Lawler, I was like
yo, I don't know how I feel about you, bro. You
I was like, you talked about Helen and Stu crazy, my guy. I don't know if you know, but some of us take this serious.
Yeah, that was shit was deep.
That was really and then as I got older. I had this, once I understood it a little more, I was like, oh, Brett's family, they really are about this wrestling shit.
OB,
they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck.
They say whatever. Like, that's the beauty is when you realize, when you finally get to that point of, like, truly understanding. And, like, even with the Cody thing recently, did you follow the Cody thing at all with The Rock?
Not really.
So, like, there was going to be Cody and Roman, and then it was going to be The Rock and Roman.
Okay.
And the Cody fans freaked out. And so, you know, this is how it looks at least. No one knows exactly what happened. And then they went back, and now it's going to be Cody Roman. And when everyone was like buying into Cody being upset, I was like, guys, I don't know if you understand. This is, I'm going to tell you the story for the second time in a day, but I fucking love it. I was at the Hall of Fame the year the Dudleys went in.
Hmm.
And I walked past Bubba Ray, now Bully Ray. And
Bully
I,
Ray.
And I walked past, that's a bad motherfucker too. Mm-hmm. That is a real life, will, you know, you just wouldn't want problems kind of guy. But really, really cool guy. But anyways, I see him and I go, I'm like, hey man, congratulations. And I stick out my hands, serious congratulations. And he shakes my hand. As he shakes, he goes, it's a fucking work, bro. I was like, but it's the Hall of Fame.
It's the Hall of Fame.
It's the Hall of Fame. He's like, but he's right.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, but the Hall of Fame's a work.
Yeah.
It's all
it's a work. Yeah.
And like, now that doesn't mean he's not seriously honored by it.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure now he probably wears his ring. He probably loves it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this critical part that us as fans, no matter how much you know, I mean, you could be, I sit in the fucking locker room, bro. I get to be there. I am still ultimately still like, a fanboy. Mm-hmm. Like you don't view it the way.
Right.
And not even all of them get it. Cause in this era,
mm-hmm.
I won't name names. You could probably guess a lot of these kids, like when I say kids up to like 35 are marks too. Like they
For
really,
sure.
they, but the older ones,
mm-hmm.
their whole view of everything is like, you know, like people would get, you know, feel bad. That our truth doesn't win, or like mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, he's on TV making jokes, getting
yeah,
paid.
He doesn't. That's
you know that all he cares about is the amount of time he gets
saying.
On TV.
Yeah, but they, it's hard for people to think of it that way.
No, still. They're like, but what about wins and losses? I'm like,
yo, bro,
the wins, they're not fighting. What do you? I mean, I understand it's fun. Wait, are we having a? If we're having a conversation like in fun,
yeah,
yes,
then
of course,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
But wait, you think actually they're like fucking lost? I remember it happened. They introduced a character a couple years ago, and everyone's like, I can't believe he jobbed to so and so tonight, and I'm like. Like, I mean, it may not be ideal, but I guarantee you that's not the, it was his first night on Raw. I guarantee you he's not upset about the loss
at all.
He's celebrating that he was
like,
on Monday night.
I was on Raw. Fuck yeah. I'll take that shit. Yeah, of course.
Hey, this has been a treat.
Yeah.
I think everyone Hell has yeah. enjoyed it thoroughly.
Fuck yeah.
I think we should have you back again.
Easy.
I mean, by the way, Syf very often is off doing comedy shows and I need someone to just fill in. So we can just, you can just come in and shoot the shit.
I'm down, bro.
And it's so funny. I did an interview recently and afterwards, and this is not uncommon. Artists will be like, yo, man, I just, if we could, and promo people especially, got to make sure we hit all the talking points on the album. And I'm like, listen, the purpose of doing this is really just to hope that every time you do it, you grab a few more people.
That's it.
No one. So, okay. So the people who already know Eric, they don't need, they've already done the nerdy things to hear about the album.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger concern is the people who don't know about Eric. And they don't want to hear details of the album they haven't heard yet. They want to hear what makes you such a cool guy.
For sure.
And then they go,
let me check his shit out. Yeah.
I fuck with this dude. I want to listen to his album. And exactly. Then guess what? Then they're going to want to go learn all those things. So I've had a lot of fun just getting to kick it with you.
Me too, bro.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man.
And
thanks for always supporting us, too. Like I was saying, bro, like you said, that time, especially when he was coming out, bro, it was like Danny, Rocky, Bronson, I'll say LP, A-Track. These are like the people that we were around all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we all came up together, you know. And it's really cool in 2024 to see most of those people, all those people doing something else, you know.
Yeah.
Like music is definitely the catalyst of how they got there. But Bronson, I mean, come on, like wines and fucking olive food oils and all types of shit, food and books. It's cool as fuck.
No, it's amazing to think about the amount of come up that everybody had. And you guys were always the easiest, the most available, like, hey, we're going to do blank. Can you be here at blank? Whether it's a South by Showcase or a freestyle for my show or, and not everyone got that. And I'm sure I told you guys that at the time. I hope if I didn't, I'll tell you now, I truly appreciate it because not everyone was easy all the time. Although most of Beast Coast was very on point. The ones who weren't, no. And actually most of them who weren't even apologized to me at some point. We're like, you were really trying to like throw us an alley-oop and I just wasn't catching the fucking ball. And I'm like, I tried my, listen.
I'm glad they did.
No, that most everyone did. Like everyone, it was a really cool, like blessed, fortunate time. And I think we can all agree that all of us are doing well, but none of us are doing as well as Rocky. Yo, it's been a pleasure.
Shout out A$AP Rocky.
Our guy, bro. Our guy. You're a hero to everyone. No, it's a pleasure. Go check out the album, Eric the Architect. Thanks, bro.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.